The Average Network presents episode 33 of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World. In the Batcave of Count Richard Cheney, the grotesque vampire at the heart of the administration, we find Count Cheney in consultation with Dr. Henry's Head, Rumsfeld, Alan Greenspan, and White House Chief of Staff, Andrew Card. Let us join them.
Goodness, Rumsfeld, you're fortunate to have returned alive. I couldn't have a nice fresh bug until I reached Baghdad. There are lots of bugs in Iraq, and my limo was only shot 4 times on the way to see Jerry.
How is Jerry?
Still alive.
That will change. He can't hide forever, and when they get him, we move Rudy Giuliani in.
If they think Bremer was bad, wait until they meet Rudy.
Does Rudy cost more than Bremer?
A bit, but he'll get another pension out of the deal, so he won't care too much or ask for too much.
And if we can arrange for Bremer to come home in a box, that'll save his pension, Mr. Greenspan.
I can work with that.
So, how would you assess Iraq, Donald? Poorly. I give it 6 months before we need to ask Congress for more money.
Excellent. When they give it to us, we arrange another loan from the IMF. When they balk, we announce default on our loans. Alan?
They panic. The Royal Bank collapses, we pick up the pieces through First and Wells and B of A.
Yes, but Greenspan, B of A's French now.
And if they don't collapse on their own, we default on their loans.
They can play along and we get them in the long run, or they don't and we crush them sooner. Clever, Alan. It's all that Ayn Rand training, isn't it?
You know her, Henry. She helped make fascism fashionable.
Yes, Hitler and Mussolini and Franco and Pinochet rather gave good, honest fascism a bad name. Still, the spin machine is having a time keeping up with all of it. We told Wolfowitz to insult France and Germany again. He overstepped and insulted Russia, China, and Canada as well.
We have to watch that, Dick. You might also tell Halliburton to rein in the profiteering.
Well, the plan was to bring the price up to $3 per gallon, then generously cut the price to $1.85. We still make a hidden 50 cent a gallon profit.
And pretend generosity. I like it.
Andy?
Why, no, sir. We should never have let George have all those liberals, Rice and Powell, in that crowd.
We are weeding out their support, though. We've gotten rid of Mel Martinez. If he can win Florida, Jeb can control him. If he loses, another liberal off the cabinet. And now that Al Gore has endorsed Howard Dean, times are a-changin'.
It brings back wonderful memories of George McGovern.
Acid, amnesty, and abortion. Remember, Henry?
Didn't Pat Buchanan invent that slogan?
Yes. Very good, Andrew. Convince people that there is something frightening about someone they know is all right, and they'll even vote for someone as obviously deranged as Nixon.
It also, of course, helps if you've someone as crazy as Pat Buchanan writing your scripts.
That's true. Imagine Nixon thinking Reagan was strange and unpleasant.
I've known George a long time, and I still don't know how you guys manage him so well.
Well, he has no curiosity about anything other than cartoons and money.
I don't watch cartoons.
But you do like money.
Very much.
Well, Alan is going to help us get all the money in the world.
Well, maybe not all of it.
We don't need all of it. Just enough.
Masters! Masters!
I was just checking the periscope. George is coming with Ashcroft.
Oh, well, it was a nice evening.
Nothing lasts, Henry.
I'm not going to have to explain anything to him, am I?
We'll cover for you, Greenspan. Andy, might you be able to wheel Alan back to his apartment?
I don't know if I can get him in my trunk.
It's all right. You can just hook me on the back.
Oh, okay.
Dick! Well, I don't know where he is. He's like them terroristicals, always moving around.
Back here, George.
Now, Cheney.
How are you? Hello, John. How was Mexico?
They got their own version of rubber the brush. Tequila, they calls it. Howdy, Henry. Howdy, Andy. Don. Howdy, little wrinkly feller.
Washcroft, that there's old Albert Greenseed. Alan Greenspan, George.
Hey, got the initials right for a change.
Yeah, done better than usual.
Hey, Andy, what you doing down here? Just getting our instructions for the week. Carl and me and some of the gang have to figure out how much money we can pad the military budget with next year.
It better be a lot.
It will be. We have a lot of Republicans to elect, at least 2 or 3 overpriced weapon systems worth.
Well, remember, Andy, come spring, you and me and Ashcroft and General Myers gonna go try some of them out on the new Kill the Trees and Save the Forest plan.
We already got weapons for that, George.
I can't wait. I hate trees. Well, we'll see you tomorrow, George. I'm taking Mr. Greenspan home.
Come, Mr. Card. I'll help you to the car.
Good night, Mr. President.
Dick.
Henry.
Don?
Well, George, you're probably going to be running against Howard Dean.
Well, I already got me a Howard Dean for President shirt for when I go jogging for the cameras.
That might be a bit over the top, George. Stick with the Lieberman shirt for now.
Okay.
Gonna miss them other Democrats. I was getting right fond of that homely little fella.
Ah, Kucinich. Fortunately, he never had a chance.
He can still be dangerous to us. He's almost on to us.
So many people are almost on to us, I've stopped worrying. The Democrats only are really dangerous as a bunch. You can probably beat any of them individually. But we shall have to be careful in the coming year. There are dangers lurking.
If we arrange to keep Dean angry, people will tire of him more quickly. The military will stand firmly against him, of course. He's another draft dodger.
Yes, but the military is busy apologizing for all the Afghanis they keep killing. There are bleeding hearts even at the Pentagon.
Yes, but they all dislike Clark and Kerry.
Congress will hate him. They hate being reminded that they're cockroaches.
And our business friends will hate him.
The Supreme Court will hate him because we tell them to.
Sounds like we's covered.
By gobs, what we bothering about no elections for? We ought to just make the boy permanent. That's my ruling.
Not so fast, Ashcroft. Americans are sentimental about, oh, rights, the Constitution, justice, puppies, flowers, that sort of thing. They like their little election games.
It will take a generation or two to wean them. In the meantime, we have to prepare people for a corporate world.
That what this is all about?
Corporate Darwinism, George. Do you understand?
Nope. Well, sorta, I guess.
Survival of the fittest, George. It's the driving force of nature. My kind are a near perfect example.
Vampires? Dick.
What? We're nearly immortal.
Long as you stay out of the sunlight,
can't eat no garlic. Can't even have no rub of the brush.
I like blood.
Religious symbols, wooden stakes, mirrors.
All right. Perfect may have been a bit strong.
But we're awfully cute, Master. We look more alive than James Carville.
Everyone looks more alive than James Carville. The point is that a corporate world is a neat and orderly world.
Want to count rich people's better than real people, huh?
All right. Look, George, Donald, give him the paper. We need you to talk up Iraq as a going success.
Well, it is, huh, Don?
Oh, absolutely. No question that our hardship has made us stronger and made the Iraqis love us for our grave satisfaction in a job well done around the edges and still retaining a soft, chewy center of gravity amidst a foreign threat both here and abroad.
You can't get rhetoric like that out of a shoebox. That was wonderful, Rumsfeld. Here, have a finger. I was saving it for you.
Thank you, Master.
We must continue on course for now, gentlemen.
Watching cartoons and eating pie?
By gobs.
Yes, I suppose. You will be very busy this week with fundraising and that Christmas nonsense. Remember to stress how great everything will be when we've crushed the Democrats next year. And keep trying to convince the old people to enjoy their new HMOs.
It's all for their own good.
Right. Everything we do is for everyone's own good, George.
Especially Orin, but that's the part we don't like to talk about.
Very good, George. Now, don't you have cartoons that need watching?
Hey, yeah. I had to record some yesterday on account that Chinese guy was here. He don't talk right or something.
You mean he speaks Chinese?
Maybe that was it.
Come on, George. By gobs, I got me a hankering for some cartoons.
Well, I told the kitchen we'd need us a bunch of pie tonight.
Good.
Well, Henry?
What?
Do you really think he can trounce Dr. Dean?
I certainly hope so. If not, we'll need to run very, very fast, and my new body might not be ready in time. I don't know if I'll be able to run.
I'll carry you, Doctor.
You're such a help, Rumsfeld.
Ah, well, better Dean than their war heroes, though of course our military doesn't care much for them either. At least no one seriously mentions the real democratic threat.
Please, he hasn't even announced. Perhaps he won't.
Now, Henry, we have to be prepared in case.
It's too horrible to contemplate.
Who, Masters? Who are you talking about? Who?
No, Rumsfeld, you're better off not knowing.
Oh, Master, please.
The horror. No, not that name.
It's Casey Kasem.
The Average Network has obviously unnerved itself by presenting episode 33 of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World, written and produced by Uncle Bob Young and The Average Network. All celebrity impersonations were achieved by playing selections from A Bagpipe Christmas with Angus Finbairn McCootie through a vocoder and high-speed editing terminal. To return this program to its original form, place it in a computer file and blend until liquefied, at which point, bagpipes will begin to emerge over low heat. This is Pablo T. Flies apologizing for your attention and staying thoroughly tuned.